It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's Best Deal Ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple?
Don't ruin it.
Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the refs disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Jonathan Goldstein from Heavyweight. If your finance team spends more time finding data than using it, if there's one entity here and one here and one here and one here, if scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that's powerful, painless, and proven. Learn more at Intuit.com/ERP.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Being taken care of, let's first go to directed verdict motions. It would seem to me that we first need to address any motions that the plaintiff is going to file for purposes of, assuming that the defense had rested their case. So, Mr. Elegant, why don't we have you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, and Your Honor, I will defer to Mr. Anderson because I'm not aware of any that we want to make. My understanding is the Fabre thing dropped out, and I'm not sure what other defenses there are. So I'll defer to Mr. Anderson.
Judge, just for the record, the plaintiff's move for a directed verdict on all counts, all defenses, and in particular, the medical malpractice, because there is insufficient evidence, actually no evidence in the form of a reasonable degree of medical probability as to the psychosocial allegations against or proposed diagnosis against Maya Kowalski. Through the course of this, the defense has not presented a single expert in the area of psychology who can testify to a reasonable degree of medical probability that this is something other than CRPS. And so we move for a directed verdict on the medical malpractice count in particular, and if not, then a determination under the DV that the issue of the diagnosis has been decided.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, because let me tell you my interpretation of your motion, that right this second, you are only moving for a directed verdict with respect to the claim of medical negligence and not every single count. So does the defense wish to respond, knowing that I know that there was some testimony that Maya Kowalski doesn't even have CRPS?
If you need a response, I'll make it, but I don't think I should need one.
I just want you to feel, say whatever you need to say, but this motion is going to be denied, so.
And there's nothing I need to say.
Okay, the court's going to deny the first motion that the plaintiffs moved for directed verdict as to the medical negligence. And Mr. Anderson, any other motions for directed verdict that you wish to make?
Well, I made all counts of defense as one for for the record, Judge. I'm not arguing any of them.
Well, I don't want to Oh, okay. Mr. Altenberg.
And because of the current status of the rules, I don't actually have to renew a motion for a directed verdict at the end of all the evidence like I used to, but my stomach tells me I'm supposed to do that.
Well, I'm saying to respond to Mr.
After that, no, I won't respond to that argument.
Okay, I'm going to deny the motion.
I'm so hurt.
Well, I, to be fair, I'm not sure that motion did anything to preserve anything. So if there's something specific you want me to focus on, now's your opportunity.
No, Judge, not at this point.
Okay, so...
No.
So at this point, there are no further motions being made by the plaintiff for purposes of directed verdict. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Let me shift over to the defendants. We are assuming, as we discussed earlier today, we were going to do DV motions now, even though technically we have not closed the rebuttal case. Mr. Altenburn, whatever you want to do now, is the floor is yours.
All right. As I said, by the rule, I don't have to renew anymore, even though I'm, by instinct, used to doing that. So I'm going to try to limit this as a result just to two or three things. First, on the claim of fraudulent billing. My argument was before, and that first of all, that they had put in no representations, let alone misrepresentations of evidence, in their case. And that was because they were relying on only documents that were a database from Aetna Insurance Company and nothing that had ever been sent by or received by the Kowalskis or Aetna from Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Now, today they tried to put in and did put in some bills, but that doesn't cure the fact from before that they did not have that when I made a directed verdict at the end of the case. Those, if there's a representation, it's going to be in those documents, and they were not in at the end of the plaintiff's case. Moreover, those documents are not self-proving. And what the misrepresentation has to be material to something that Aetna did. The evidence we put on confirms that other than $11, there was nothing questioned by the Aetna. And as a result of all of that, that there was something that they did or did not do relying to their detriment on that, either by their insurance company or them. The proof on that is just not in. This is, if it goes to the jury, it's total speculation about all of this. And yes, there is a lien to be resolved by you at the end of this, but I don't know what they're supposed to decide as a jury question about the lien based upon the evidence that's been put in. So I continue to believe that there should be a directed verdict on the fraudulent billing count.
Plaintiffs.
There was evidence. Actually, I don't believe we needed it because we passed directed verdict, but their expert actually connected up even more the relationship between the Aetna billing for CRPS and their representations in the medical records and their submissions. There was testimony in the record from Brewerton and from Chopra as to the different types of treatment that the Kowalskis would need and have to pay for. There was also, and I didn't think we were going to get into the damages aspect of this. Testimony from Brewerton and from Chopra as to the future. I'm just trying to think. There was one other one, Judge, where... I know. We had compared the amount of psychosocial, CBT that they're supposed to have with the amount they actually received at Johns Hopkins. And there was a huge disparity between the two, indicating that Maya, all regional references in our favor, Maya did not receive everything that she was supposed to receive if... And the testimony was that the diagnosis would be enacted on CRPS.
Any very brief response?
Very brief response on this, Your Honor, is that the evidence on this as to CRPS being on the document. There's no dispute that she was 100 days in the hospital and that she got room and board that was billed for it. There's no dispute that they're not claiming that she didn't get physical therapy or occupational therapy or cognitive therapy. They're claiming that she should have had more than she did. But they're not claiming that we billed for things we didn't do for those. And the evidence, even from their own experts, is that that's what you should do first before you go to their theory of ketamine treatment. And there's no evidence ketamine treatment can be provided by any hospital in America through this. So there's just no evidence of fraudulent billing.
Okay, the court's going to deny the DV motion on fraudulent billing.
Okay.
Next one, Mr. Altenberg.
The next one, I continue to believe that on negligent infliction of emotional distress, you know, that they haven't alleged nor have they proven a tort of negligence that occurred to either Bieda or Jack Kowalski that can be on the verdict form, and that without proof of the predicate offense, or the predicate tort, rather, there's no claim for negligent infliction of emotional distress, even if the evidence they put on was sufficient enough to manage to speak over the line on physical injury.
Oh. Before we continue on this motion, I forgot to ask the plaintiffs where you are on the negligent training. Are you...
We're sticking with it for right now, Judge. We'll decide over the course of the weekend if we need it. But I'll tell you our concerns. Our concerns are we never know where the defense is going to go once we make a move. And it's not that we don't trust them. We just don't trust them. And so whenever we're making a decision like this, I have to look down the road to the potential ramifications. What I'm concerned about is I don't want to draw some defense that we didn't show underlying negligence or more from the hospital itself in combination with Beatty under 768.72 through 0.76. So that's one of the, and the primary reason I still got it in here, that's something we can talk about depending on what the defense wants to do.
Okay, well,
Your Honor, if I could add in, sure. One of the things, and you'll see in the instructions, or maybe it's in the verdict form, I think it's in the instructions, is that, you know, if the defense is willing to agree that negligent training can be discussed as part, you know, in the closing and so forth as part of the other claims, then we wouldn't need a separate interrogatory verdict on it. Because to your point the other day, it would be overlapping damages, but we're going to take care of that with a non-duplication instruction. But still, we could simplify it if they're going to say, I think Mr. Anderson's concern is we dismiss that, and then as soon as he mentions negligent training and refers to the evidence on it, they say, well, that's not part of the case.
Exactly.
Although it was incorporated by reference into the medical malpractice claim, it still would have to be something that a doctor or a nurse did that breached the standard of care that caused physical injury to a child. And so, I mean, I've heard an awful lot about a lot of things other than doctors or nurses causing a physical injury to this child that results in bodily injury and then all the things that flow from that. And so I don't see that any of the training thing by itself, when there's no allegation of anybody being outside the course and scope of their employment, the whole theory is that these were trained doctors or trained nurses and they fell below their standard of care causing a traditional medical malpractice claim. And so I don't think that this negligent training stuff is appropriate part of the argument, but I'm not going to give that up just because there's a count there that from the very beginning has been the smorgasbord. I mean, they've been using this thing to create this big ball of spaghetti that you can't tear apart. So to have a simple story ends up being this in the jury instructions, and I forget how many pages now, 14 pages of a verdict. And that's going to be very, very difficult, and it's because of count 14 to a large extent.
I sidetrack this, and I apologize. Yeah. Mr. Altenburn just moved for a directed verdict on, is it count 6C, the negligent infliction of emotional distress?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So,
Your Honor, I can speak to that.
Now, Mr. Elegant, you need to give your best shot, because this is the one that, in my mind, it's been kind of on a tender read.
Yeah. Your Honor, if you look at the Eighth Amendment complaint at paragraph 119, it pleads that Maya witnessed negligent acts toward her parents. The argument, there doesn't have to be an underlying claim for negligence by the person who is the victim of the underlying acts. If I'm understanding the argument and what's being said in the draft instructions you're going to look at, they're saying, well, there's no evidence that Beata and Mr. Kowalski made a claim for this, and they don't need to, because when Maya witnesses the negligent acts toward the parents, and they may be intent, maybe some negligent, some intentional. I mean, the jury will sort that out. But when she witnesses the negligent acts, that's enough. I mean, that is the negligent infliction on her, seeing the way her parents are treated. And they don't have to have filed a separate cause of action for that. That's just not part of the requirement, as I see it, not in the instructions and the law.
And if I may add, there's plenty of evidence in there that after a certain amount of the abuse by Beatty and in those conversations or so, Maya just kind of gave up. It's even in the nursing records that she had given up and was losing strength and becoming less able to do everything. And so that is an injury.
Mr. Altenburg.
I know Your Honor's not fond of the impact rule, but the problem here is that there's no case that says what Mr. Ellicott says, that you can have negligence in the air and proceed with this. And what you have to have is an order. You have to have a breach of duty that caused a physical injury and impact to somebody that they witnessed, and that has to be an actionable tort. I know of no case that says anything other than that, so I think I'm entitled to a directed verdict on this.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take this under advisement. I'll give you my final ruling tomorrow when we're discussing the jury instructions, but I want to think about this one a little bit overnight.
And the only other one that I'm going to argue is count 14, and it's this. The argument I've made before is that we're now at the close of all the evidence, and the jury instruction is that it's supposed to be a negligent standard by the hospital training doctors and nurses, and I guess it's slipped in staff right now. I'm not sure what staff, but that has to, by itself, without the actions of another human being, result in damage to people. I heard the expert say that it was his expert, I guess, legal opinion that violations of these standards caused injuries to somebody, but there's got to be a whole bunch of things in between, and that's what's left in this lawsuit, in especially in the medical malpractice claim and in all these other claims. So this thing has never stated a coherent cause of action from the very first time it was pled, and it still does not, and they haven't proved whatever it is. So
The November 12th notice of Kathy Beatty not only trying to pick a fight outside with a coworker, but having had it two times before, then following that, no training or retraining whatsoever. That is more than enough evidence in the record to show that had she received the training, or let's say a reasonable inference, and as pled and as proven, that had she had that training, any training or any steps had been taken, she would have not have been there to continue to harass and commit intentional acts on Maya.
And that was count 11, that she would not have been there because of retention, and they dismissed that in exchange for my promise that everybody was inside the scope and course of employment. This is just trying to try 11 in 14, and that's not a negligent training. So we're supposed to have trained her after November to prevent things in what time period? There's no proof.
Wasn't that just all what Corcoran said?
Well, I will let you know in the morning when we deal with jury instructions. I'll take this one under advisement. Is there anything else specifically you want to do, Mr.?
No, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I know we're going to cover in jury instructions, but the reason staff is there is, I mean, staff is pled. If you look back at the underlying allegations of 14C and what it incorporates, it does refer to staff. And it was my understanding that there was some contention by the defense that Beatty was not a healthcare provider, part of the healthcare providing team, but just staff. So that's why staff was put in somewhat late in the day.
Now, I think at some point Mr. Altenburg said he wanted, and maybe it was Mr. Ellicott, wanted to do jury instruction starting tomorrow morning. Was that someone's request?
It was my observation that I thought we'd probably be at 5:10 before we got to this. And the truth is that you
5:12.
That you probably want to stare at these things a little bit, and that it's probably faster. I'm willing to come at 8:05 if you want me to. I'll be here whenever you want me to be here. But I have a feeling this will go faster if we start tomorrow morning than right now. So,
Mr. Elliott, are you okay with that game plan?
I'll do whatever you want, Your Honor. I'll stay as late as you want tonight or come as early as you want tomorrow.
Assuming that I make timely decisions, which I promise to do, are we going to be able to get through these jury instructions in the verdict form in 2 hours?
I will do my very best to do that. I mean, the only thing that's really hard is the suicide one, and I do need to kind of preserve that and try to get hopefully the best instruction I can on that. And I will tell you that I've written something that's all on irresistible impulse. I've gone through a litany of things that you don't want to give. You've been interested in that. So I've written as my last approach to this, something that I think is along the lines of Nelson and uses the Nelson language, which they suggested early on. The problem with your alternate theory of substantial cause, and I put that in a long memo, and you were in trial, so I'm sure you haven't seen it, is that it confuses causation of damages and causation of a tort, because this is a situation where we have to have conduct that, for a normal one, we commit this conduct with the intent of causing emotional distress. It causes people damages because they're emotionally distressed. It's not that you can go on and say, okay, now that there's emotional distress, was it a substantial cause of a damage called death? Because the death was caused because someone killed themselves. So they would normally be the intervening proximate cause. This is a little bit like in a situation where they're charged with hurting someone else, and the only way they get off is by showing that they were essentially insane at the time. And so if you go to irresistible impulse, it's that the conduct has to cause not just the standard level of emotional distress, the conduct has to be severe enough that it causes not just the state of mind of emotional distress, but the state of mind of irresistible impulse. So stated again, it's not that you have a state of mind initially that's one thing, and that somehow transitions into your mind into a greater state of mind. And that is frankly what the courts who use that phrase in other states haven't thought through because they hadn't gone to trial. But it didn't sink into me until I was a little while in trial as well.
Well, are the plaintiffs riding on both theories or just one?
Your Honor, we would like both. Not really theories, I guess, as much as alternative causation, if we're going to use that terminology. And I have proposed in the somewhere in the instructions, or maybe it's in the verdict form, I think it was in the instructions, that the way to do this, in keeping with the court's expressed desire that I think we all share, not to have to repeat anything we don't have to, is instruct the jury that they will be asked to consider A and B, and then put A and B on the verdict form. Put substantial cause, put irresistible impulse on the verdict form, and let them answer yes or no to each of them. That way it will be fully answered, and if the appellate court thinks it's got to be one and not the other, they'll have the answers to both.
That generally is where I am with the wrongful death instruction, that I recognize that there is scant case law out there, and
but
I picked the wrong horse, so to speak, and I don't put both variants on there, then the appellate court's not going to have the ability to know what the jury actually found. They could check yes to both. They could check no to both. They could check yes to one, yes to the other, or no to the other. So it to me is the safer course
it under the unique circumstances that we find ourselves in with this cause of action to have and instruct the jury on both?
A couple things. First, as we've discussed before, having alternate complete causes of action that you do in this fashion and having to select one or the other at the end, see whether one's correct or not. I understand that, but they have a single cause of action where we're going to give them one instruction on causation based on conduct doing one thing, and another instruction on whether the emotional stress that was caused by this, what in turn was a substantial factor in a suicide. They're different theories. You're going to have to explain to the jury in some way that this one theory is a whole lot harder to prove than the other theory, because they're going to see these as parallel kinds of things. I don't see how we can possibly do this without further confusing a jury, and the ball of spaghetti will win on this. This case has to be sorted out, and he wants this kind of thing to throw the whole thing at them in an emotional fashion where they cannot go through this and resolve it rationally. So, no, I don't agree with that.
I understand you don't agree, but we're going to do it. So I intend on allowing both to be instructed on and an interrogatory question or questions on the verdict form.
Tomorrow will take a little longer because I want to argue then a little bit more about what the definition of substantial cause is.
I know, but because this is an issue that I know is going to take time, I thought it best to lay my cards on the table. That's where I'm going with it. So we need to operate within those parameters. And I fully recognize that the defense vehemently objects to the proposal to put both on the instructions in verdict form. So I fully acknowledge that, but I'm overruling the defense, and we're going to do it.
Okay.
Your Honor, would it be helpful for you to have, if Mr. Altenburg and I can work a little bit longer on it tonight, to have something over to you that reflects that?
And I know you sent something, and I've got it here. You sent something at 2-something this afternoon. I haven't been able to synthesize it and how it's different than last night's.
That is the latest that we've worked up together. And we actually work well on this, I think, Your Honor. We commented on to ourselves earlier in the day on that. But we obviously have some disagreements. But I think we're working well toward the end and trying to incorporate the rulings. That one's farther along than last night. With this, and when we know what your rulings are in the morning, we'll be even further along. But I think there'll still be a number of things for you to look at either way.
Well, to answer your specific question, if there is specific language that furthers the effort, I am all for that option. If you don't want to work on that tonight, if you don't think it's going to be fruitful or productive, then let's not. And let me just hit one other low-hanging fruit on the definition of manager.
Yes.
I want to go with the second DCA language out of, was it the Dominguez case?
Dominguez, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the second DCA's language.
Okay. And if Mr. Elegant wants to, it'll be a while till I get back to a hotel room. If he wants to work on something more on the second factor, I don't know whether you're trying to get definitions of that in there or what you're going to do, but if you send it to me, I'll look at it when I get there.
8:15, and let's try to, hustle as much as we possibly can, and I will hopefully announce the first thing, what I'm doing relative to those 2 DV motions I took under advisement.
Very good, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll be in recess. See you all 8:15 tomorrow morning. Mr. Costrell, since you stayed today, can you let Mr. Reyes know I'll need him here tomorrow at 8:15?
Gladly.
and he gets the opportunity to be here tomorrow. I need somebody here to do what we need to do for the TV folks. 8:15. Well, we're starting at 8:15.
You're pretty sure you said 6:15.
Did I say 6:15?
No.
Oh. I think I told Mr. Whitney 2:30 in the morning. Yeah, 8:15 tomorrow.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
This is Jonathan Goldstein from Heavyweight. If your finance team spends more time finding data than using it, if there's one entity here and one here and one here and one here, if scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that's powerful, painless, and proven. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Jonathan Goldstein from Heavyweight. If your finance team spends more time finding data than using it, if there's one entity here and one here and one here and one here, if scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that's powerful, painless, and proven. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Jonathan Goldstein from Heavyweight. If your finance team spends more time finding data than using it, if there's one entity here and one here and one here and one here, if scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that's powerful, painless, and proven. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Jonathan Goldstein from Heavyweight. If your finance team spends more time finding data than using it, if there's one entity here and one here, and one here, and one here. If scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that's powerful, painless, and proven. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Jonathan Goldstein from Heavyweight. If your finance team spends more time finding data than using it, if there's one entity here and one here and one here and one here, if scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that's powerful, painless, and proven. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
This is Jonathan Goldstein from Heavyweight. If your finance team spends more time finding data than using it, if there's one entity here and one here and one here and one here, if scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that's powerful, painless, and proven. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple?
Don't ruin it.
Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the rest disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.